one announcement that I missed. Next week, Sunday, June 1st, there's going to be a Vacation Bible School meeting. So anyone interested in helping with Vacation Bible School, it's a meeting for you to learn what you need to do. So there will be a meeting in the sanctuary after the morning service next week. So that's the one I overlooked. All right, Catherine.
Amen. Paul and Silas were in prison for preaching the word of God. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed, praising his name. We have choices when things go wrong. We can run, hide away, we can whine, complain, or we can praise his name.
When you're up against a wall, and your mountain seems so tall, and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away and hide, let the old nature decide, or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, lift your head and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me. And you can take this pain away. When you feel you can't go on, praise his name. When you think all hope is gone, raise your hand and say, greater is he that is within me. He can break every chain. If you'll just praise his name. Oh, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. The darkness has to go as the faith within you grows. You're not alone, and God wants you to know. When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, lift your head and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me. And you can take this pain away. When you feel you can't go on, just praise his name. When you think all hope is gone, raise your hand and say, greater is he that is within me. He can break every chain. greater is He that is within me. He can break every chain. If we'll just praise His name. Praise His name.
Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 10. And I want to bring a message to you about building a memorial worth remembering. Each one of us, whether we know it or not, are building a memorial. And I guess it's to who we want to build it to or for what purpose. I know that one day I'm looking forward to meeting the Lord. And I'm looking forward to meeting Him. And by no stretch of the imagination do I think that I'm anybody special. I'm not. But that being said, I am somebody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am somebody that believes what I preach. And I am somebody that will defend the Word of God. And we were talking in Sunday school this morning. I'm teaching a series on foundations, and the first foundation we're going to be talking about is the foundation of the house, of having a godly house. It doesn't happen by mistake. It happens by it was wonderful in Sunday school. I have one table here, one table there, and two tables there. And I had to add another table back here because we didn't have enough chairs. And that's a blessing, amen? People wanting to learn the Word of God. People wanting to take the Word of God and applying it to their lives in their house. And as men and women, I think that men bring something to the table and women bring something to the table. And we have our own roles as a husband or a wife or a man, woman. But one role that all of us have as men and women is to teach our kids how to be godly men and women as they grow up. There's no greater responsibility that any of us have. Trust me. When that day comes, and whether they put you in an urn or put you in a casket or whatever, when that day comes, oh, there'll be people that'll shed tears at our funerals and things like that. But after a while, life goes on. And you go to a cemetery, you might see a memorial there, you know, one of those stones that they put and maybe engrave something. Chances are more people pass by there and see it than our relatives will. And, you know, people that just walk around cemeteries and see it. I don't know about you, but I don't want my memorial that I leave behind just being a stone that says my name on a piece of dirt in the ground. Your memorial can be something for God. The greatest memorial you can have is a memorial left for God. I've been to funerals. I've been to so many funerals in the ministry. There's nothing like going to a funeral where somebody was sold out to God. And you'll just see the place will have all kinds of people in it, and they'll talk about that person and what they did for God. That is a great funeral service to attend. It really is. I've been blessed to be a part. part of several. Now, I was going to start out and talk about Memorial Day and what all it is and everything. I don't have time for that because of what we did. I only got half hour or so to preach to you, so I'm just going to jump in to what I'm going to preach on. Acts chapter number 10. You ought to be there by now. This fella has something to do with all of us. If it wasn't for this fella who God used, we would not be able to have a memorial for God. His name's Cornelius. He was a Gentile. The Jews, the Lord Jesus Christ came for the Jews, and he's coming back the second time, and the great tribulation is going to be so that the Jews recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. And this fella here was a Gentile. And Messiah wasn't for the Gentiles. But here we see that Peter was instructed to go to see Cornelius. The Bible tells us there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house. So he not only feared God and reverenced God, but his whole house did. He led the house. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. Which gave much alms, this was the giving that he did, to the people, and prayed to God always. The man of prayer. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now let me pause right there. I just talked a few moments ago about us giving God his tithes and us giving towards supporting missionaries. Right here shows us that our prayers and our giving goes before God. It's right there. And let me say that again. Thy prayers, in verse 4, and thine alms, which are offerings, are come up for a memorial before God. And now, send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. With that, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the remembrance of Memorial Day and those that have paid the ultimate price, and they gave their lives to keep our country free. We thank you, God, that you have had your hand upon this country despite the sin of this country, just as every country sins, but there's a difference with this country. It was founded upon you. And the first textbook was the Bible in the schools. And God, I pray that you would have your hand upon this country, that we would remember you at this weekend, and I pray that there would be several festivities that honor God with Memorial Day coming up. And I pray that Memorial Day would be more than just a backyard barbecue, that we would remember those that gave their lives, gave their blood for this country. God bless those families that have somebody missing at the dinner table because they gave their life for their country. I pray, as always, if there's anybody here today that is not saved, that they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Anybody here, Doesn't matter if they made a profession of faith before or not. But there's two people that would know if somebody's saved. One is the person that's not saved, and two is you. So, Lord, I pray that you bless the words that are about to be spoken. I pray we'd all open up our hearts. I pray that we'd all leave baggage outside and have a pure heart and a receptive heart coming into this sanctuary, which is set apart for you this morning. Bless now the preaching of the Word of God as only you can. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take our attention back to verse number 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." A memorial denotes something or things that keep alive the memory of someone. I remember, I've been to Washington, D.C. twice now. Once I went with my family. Another time I went with my daughter and her class when she was in grade school. And we went to Washington, D.C. I'm kind of a history nut, so I really enjoyed seeing all the sites there and museums and things like that. There was Arlington National Cemetery. What a memorial. The mask of the Maine is there. Remember the Maine. There was the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the Korean War Memorial, the World War II Memorial. There was the Vietnam Memorial, which really was spectacular to see. You see people, and that's the one memorial that constantly changes, because they have a little insignia next to the person's name. And they could be missing in action, but if they find the remains, they change it. Now there are more memorials. I know that they have the Martin Luther King Memorial, and there's some other things. My wife and I are planning a vacation this year, and we're going to go to Washington, D.C. When one thinks of all those memorials, the memorial that is least on anyone's mind today for all of us is our own memorial. So what I want to look at with the time we got left this morning is that a man who built a memorial before his death, the memorial he built was before God. Let me give you a little background. The time was a time of prejudice. The church was made up of converted Jews. That's it. Nobody was allowed in the church but Jews that had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Strict Jews would have nothing to do with Gentiles. They would never be guests in a Gentile's home. In fact, dirt from a Gentile country was considered defiled, and a Jew would shake off his sandals before entering into Israel. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:14. It said, "And whosoever shall not receive you or hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet." When Peter arrived at the home of Cornelius, and it's a bigger story, you'd have to read it on your own, in Acts 10:28, "And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." If you all remember the story prior to that, where Peter said, "Lord, I don't eat anything unclean." And God corrected him, said, "What I've made clean." So that's why we can eat lobster and crab legs. Amen? And I got some stories I can tell about that, but we must move on. All you can shovel. Amen? We'd have $10.99 a person over on Ford Road in Wildwood. That poor waitress, her arm would be quivering, carrying out those crab legs to us. But anyway, it's 30 years ago. So Jews would not eat food prepared from Gentiles. Cooking utensils bought from a Gentile had to be purified before using them. So what was it about this man that God saw as a memorial to dispense his grace that salvation would come to the Gentiles? This man, there was something special about him. He prayed to God. He gave to God. And God knew it. And when you pray to God and you're talking to God and you give back to God, God knows your name. And God wants to bless you. One of the biggest things that get in the way from God blessing us is us. Now, first thing I want to bring up is that Cornelius was a memorial to God and a devout man that had faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, Peter said this, "And if ye call on the Father, who without respect to persons," doesn't respect persons, "judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Cornelius feared God. That's what's missing in the world today. We don't fear God. I mean, people use God and then put the word damn after it. I'm going to tell you what, every person that uses the word God and then puts the word damn after it is going to have a conversation with God one day. God doesn't forget that. God's name is not an adjective. It bothers me a bunch when I see teenagers that, OMG, they have no idea what they're doing. No idea. But they come, obviously, from a house that's not training them up in how to fear God and how to respect God. Just the way it is. Cornelius feared God. He respected God. He had a genuine reverence for God. And if there were any kind of memorial that I would want, it would be a memorial of reverence for God. I must say, I believe that a memorial of reverence for God is actually rare in our day. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God." Honor the king. The psalmist said this in Psalm 33:8. Psalm 33, by the way, is a good psalm for y'all to read. There's your homework assignment for the week. "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the habitants the world stand in awe of Him." Let me tell you something. When I walk in this house, I stand in awe of God. Being from the beginning, when I walked in, my wife and I walked in with nothing but a Bible in hand, and God has provided everything you see around you. We serve an awesome God. Man, I'll tell you what, when I drove out of here last night and I looked back, and I'm not kidding around, Ed did a great job cutting the grass. It's God's grass. He put it there. And He put the rain on it. And our grass looks, you look at that grass when you drive out of here, and you look at that and tell me if it doesn't look like, man, we've got a tree service, a landscape service coming in and landscaping and fertilizing and all that stuff. We haven't put anything down, not one stitch. And it looks beautiful. Looks like a golf course out there. It's God's. And God's house ought to look the best. Amen. And by the way, every one of you that is a church member here, you are an equal owner of the building and the property. But know this, it's God's. And when you come into God's house, you ought to stand in awe. I know sometimes I might get a little overboard on that, but I don't care. I don't answer to you. I answer to a Jewish carpenter. He's my God and my Savior. And I'll tell you something. I think that we ought to just, when we come in, last night I went back to the boiler, checked the heat, make sure the heat was on and everything was right for you folks this morning. And I come walking back through here, and Brother Mark, I walked up the aisle and I said, thank you, God. I touched each one of the pews. I walked up, Brother Pat, on that side, and I just walked up and I just said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. This is an awesome building because it's God's house. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for my salvation. Thank you, God, that when I die, I'm not going to hell. Thank you, God, that I've got nothing but time. I'm playing, you know, I could have died twice, and people say, oh, well, you know, God's blessed. No, God is no respecter of persons. No, 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 no. And whatever time I've got left on planet Earth, I'm playing the bonus pinball. Those of us old enough to play pinball know what we're talking about. These young people don't know what pinball is, Brother Pat, but I play pinball. We used to go and play, and we'd rack up the score so high we'd play all afternoon for free. We get these free games, but you get a high enough score, Miss Francine, you got a free ball at the end. It's called the bonus pinball. And my life is a bonus pinball right now. That's a dangerous thing. Because when you're living on a danger on a bonus pinball, sometimes you get a little loose and a little, you don't care about, you don't have as much of a filter. That's what I'm trying to say, Miss Francine. Or Miss Londa, you're Francine over there. You don't have much of a filter. So the rest of my life is devoted to try to tell people, fear God and make a memorial out of yourself to your family so that when you do die, instead of somebody just going by once or twice a year and throwing some flowers on your grave because they have to, I'd rather them spend the time at the house and bring up memories about what Grandpa did, what Papa did, what Nan did, how Nan ran a bus for years and picked up kids, how she was a bus kid to start with, snot-nosed bus kid, and got saved, gloriously saved, and how our daughter got saved, and how my grandson got saved, and I hope I live long enough to see him get married and have kids, and maybe long enough to see them grow up and get saved. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, I take it serious, Miss Francine, when I walk into this house. This is not my house. This is God's house. I have seen so much disrespect in churches. It sickens me. God deserves our best in everything we do. Everything you do for the Lord, you're going to play that piano, give God your best. You're going to stand up and sing, give God your best. You're going to teach, you teachers, you give God your best. Don't you wing it. You guys learning to be preachers, you give God your best. Don't wing it. What a privilege to be able to even stand up behind this sacred desk and preach God's word. Oh, we serve a great God. And He has prepared for all of us something that we are not expecting, that our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, what God has prepared for those that love Him. How can you love somebody you never met? I'll tell you what, you get into God's word and you get around godly people, and you'll draw closer to God in the ways of God. We are to come to this house, and we are to come here fearing God, looking to be a memorial for God, but we're also to come here and lift one another up. When we know that we got a mother-in-law that's having a stinking surgery, I'm not going to tell you what it is. But they shouldn't even have to have the surgery. You don't know what somebody two rows over from you is going through. But I will tell you this, when you walk into this house, you ought to feel good. And somebody ought to grab hold of you and maybe give you a high five, a hug, a knuckle bump, elbow bump, whatever it is going to make you feel good. But you ought to feel good. You ought to feel better when you leave the house than when you came in. Because you're around God's people. I see you all more than I see my own family. My brother lives in a city far, far away. It's called Livonia. And I see him. We tried to travel, get airplane tickets, bus tickets, whatever travel mode we got to do to meet up with each other, like at Christmas and Easter. Maybe we might do a ball game this year where, I don't know, we'll see. But we live so far apart. Tell you what, when I got up this morning, and yesterday I was studying, preparing for today, which I don't have my notes in front of me, so why did I even bother? I just got it in me percolating and bubbling up. Then I got to tell you something, folks. I know something that maybe some of you know, maybe some of you don't. But I'm telling you, God's watching everything you're doing. God's listening to every word that comes out of your mouth. And God wants to bless you. Any one of us that's a parent, any one of us that's a parent knows that there's nothing better for a parent than to give a gift that a kid's not expecting. To give a kid something that they just... Took my daughter to a ball game. And the deal was, you know, we'll pay for our own tickets. I don't want them paying for my tickets, you know. They want to take mom out for Mother's Day, so we made it a ball game. So I went down and bought tickets. So I said, I'll tell you what. I think they were $150 for a pair or something like that. Good tickets. And so I told my daughter, I said, you know what? Instead of you paying me the $150, she had it. She had $149, $147, whatever it was. She had it in an envelope. I said, thank you very much. Now, we're going to take this and go buy you Forgive me, God. Please. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Rewind. I took that money and told my daughter, I said, I'm going to buy you a Tigers jacket. They're like $150. You know I'm not going to let her pay for tickets. That's my little girl. That's my baby. I want to buy her things. I want to take care of her. What do you think God wants to do with you? He loves you more than I love my own daughter. Why? Because he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for you. He shed his perfect sinless blood, and God the Father was standing there, and he had to turn his back because all the world's sin went on the Lord Jesus Christ. And at any time, he could have stopped it at any time, and he didn't. He turns back on it. And Michael, the archangel, who was on DEFCON 1, waiting with all the other angels, ready to come down and charge. Because Jesus told Peter in the garden, he said, don't you, after he picked up the guy's ear, and put his ear back on his head, don't you realize I can call upon 12 legions of angels? A legion is anywhere from 2,000 to 6,000 Roman soldiers at the time. And we know in the Bible that one angel came down and killed 185,000 men, Assyrians, in one night until God said, whoa, that's enough. So if you did the math, what Jesus was saying is that I can call upon the angels to wipe out all mankind. I often wondered when the rapture takes place and we join the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I often thought, you know, I've never been to battle or anything, but there's going to be a war. God's going to come back. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And he's going to, you know, he's going to speak it and it's done. We're not going to come down and, Connie, you're going to charge with a mop and Tony, Brother Tony's going to have his cutting knives out. Jesus is going to speak, and it's done. We serve a God that created everything on this earth, and He created all things for Him and by Him. And we get the honor and glory to serve Him. And as we get to serve Him, we get to build a memorial. Now, we're all going to build different memorials. Now, being the pastor of this church, I happen to have a clue as to what some people, their spiritual gifts are. Some of you have multi-gifts. Some of you may have one gift. Some of you have gifts that you're not even using because you're shy. Some of you are thinking, he's talking about me. No, there's more than one of you. God wants to use you. God wants you to use yourself so that you'll actually be a memorial for God. God wants you to use yourself so that you'll be a memorial not only for God, but for God, for your family to see. So that you'll be somebody that your family will actually want to be like. And not like the lady down the street or the guy down the street this way or that way. Oh, they're always in fighting, they're this, that, the cops are called and all that garbage. No! God wants you to be a godly person that puts God first, that prays with your spouse. Pray, and if your spouse isn't around, they took off, fine. You got your kids, fine. If they're not around, then you pray to God. You are never alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's the God I serve. It's time. Wake up, church. Because what Jesus said, all those seven churches in the book of Revelation, he's only halfway pleased with two of them. The other five are full of Gnosticism, hierarchy. They're wearing all their robes and their garments and their ephods and their big hats and all that stuff. And their collars. God doesn't want that junk. We are not a church that checks your wardrobe. Just wear your best. God deserves your best. I don't sit there and check, Brother Pat, I don't know about that suit. I think you should have wore a blue tie rather than a burgundy tie. I mean, come on, give me a break. But we ought to give God our best. And when we give God our best, our kids see that we care. How old's your son? Your son's 5 years old. I'll tell you something about my mom. My mom was abused as a child. My mom, the only break she had was when she thought she married the man she loved. She was 17. And she had two boys. After 13 years of marriage, that man walked out of her life. She never got over it. Well, God took him home. He wanted, after he went and remarried and got somebody that he thought would be better, then he found out grass wasn't greener on the other side of the fence. He come back with my mom. God said no. God didn't even give my mom a chance. Interesting thing was, 30 days before he died, by the way, you've never heard of anybody that died the way my dad died. It was a beautiful day. He went golfing. And when you become a detriment to the cause of Christ, which he had become, he drove down Michigan Avenue under Ford Boulevard in Ypsilanti. And when he come up, it's a beautiful day like today, and a 40,000-volt Edison line just snapped and dropped on his car. It entangled the front of his car in a way that it flipped him over 6-7 times, slammed him into the Beacon Beauty Shop, which is still there today. It happened June 21st, 1979. June 22nd, my brother and I was there when we said, yeah, unplug him, because his head was this size because of multiple fractures of the skull. And what happened was, God showed me later on, don't have time to talk about it, God chastised him and took him home because he'd become a detriment to the cause of Christ. He didn't have a fear of God. That's my dad's monument. That's not what his son's monument is going to be. It's not what my brother's monument is going to be. Men, we need to be godly men. We need to love God. We need to sit with our wives in church. We need to come to church when the church doors are open. If we love God, we can DVR the football games, the baseball games, and all that stuff. You know, I look at my neighbors. They enjoy their weekends and cut their grass and do all that stuff. You know what my weekend's full of every weekend? Is studying the Word of God and presenting the Word of God. So, yeah, I want people to show up. Yeah, I know I'm going over time. That's all right. You'll be all right. So the Pentecostals beat you one Sunday at Big Boy. You'll be all right. Folks, I'll close. But do me a favor. Would you listen to me? I have no agenda. I don't care about your money. I don't care about what goods you may have. I don't care about your stuff. By the way, naked you came in this world, naked you go out. You're not taking your stuff with you. I have no agenda. I don't. I just want you to have all of what God wants to give you. I don't want to get the phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning from any of you and say, "Pastor, my son took a pill he thought was this. Alex, how many people at where you work have done that? Works at Ford's on the assembly line. These guys get tired. They're looking for something to get them through. They're looking for an illicit Percocet. And guess what? It isn't Percocet. It's illicit fentanyl from China. Another one dead. Another one dead. Another one dead. We need God in our homes. We need God on that assembly line. We need God around us, with us. We need to become memorials for God. When people look at us, they say, "That is a man of God. That is a woman of God." Go back, I told the story last week about the guy who came up to me at the hospital. He said, "Excuse me, sir." He was kind of slow. He said, "Are you a church man?" I said, "Yes, I am." End result, him and his girlfriend got led to Jesus. That's what our purpose is. And it starts in the home. You want to hear this message? I'll preach it the rest tonight. "Oh, Pastor, it's Memorial Weekend. So what? You're going to cook hot dogs tomorrow afternoon." What in the world's that got to do with anything? Amen. I'm going to preach the rest of this message tonight. Cornelius was a Gentile. Remember the Syrophoenician woman walked up to Jesus, said, "I need your help. My daughter, she's vexed with the devil." He said, "Well, I'm here for the children. Well, even the dogs get to eat the scraps off the table." "Yay, Lord, I am a dog." Told her, he said, "Great is thy faith." He never said that to his disciples. He told them, "Oh, ye of little faith." But to that woman that needed him, don't wait till you truly need God before you call upon him. You know what? My pastor that I started with, Ray Hassehun, I loved when he said this. He said, "I want to be so close to God that when God whispers my name, Raymond, I hear him." He told me one day, he said, "Darren, you should see that." Years ago when he's at First Baptist, there's a huge wooden platform. He said, "Darren, I walked the platform from one end to the other," and he said, "there were tear stains. Where people went to the altar and they cried their hearts out unto God and they loved on God that day." That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a memorial from each one of us. Are you going to have bad days? Yeah. But it's easier to have a bad day with God than to have a bad day without God. Amen? Let's all stand. Brother Mark, you come. Miss Catherine, we'll have a time of invitation. And the Lord is listening this morning. I'll preach this message tonight, make something out of it if God allows me to. It's up to Him. I've got another message set, but I don't think I even scratched that one. But Memorial Weekend is not just about cooking hamburgers and hot dogs, folks. I'm going to take every opportunity I can. I want each one of you to draw closer to God. You know, Tony and Connie are going to be leaving us, going down Tennessee, Tornado Valley, right now. But because they leave, they're still a part of this ministry. And I'd expect when they come back to Michigan for something, that you come to church here. You know? And you guys are a part of this ministry. You always will be. I never forget when we left the ministry one time, and it wasn't a right church for us. And the pastor looked at me and said, "Well, I hope we can stay friends, Darren." What did that mean? Well, I found out shortly what real Christianity is to some people. Yeah. I've seen more mean people in churches than you can count. We don't want that in here. This is a loving church, a God-fearing church. And I want each one of you to be working on making the best memorial you can make for yourself, for your family, and for God. If you make it for God, it'll be made for your family. And your family will always remember you as the godliest person that they ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
You want something? It's not his last day. Douglas is moving, and Douglas is still part of this church, and he's moving to Southfield. And if we can't get somebody to go over a couple miles and pick him up, we got a problem. And all God's people said,
amen.
He come in today saying, "Well, this may be my last." No, it's not. Douglas is a part of this church, been a part of this church from the beginning. He's staying a part of this church, period. Oh, no. Let me go ahead with the invitation. Douglas is not moving his membership or anything. Douglas is a part of this ministry. And folks, if you want to be a part of helping him get church, he's going to move to 10 mile and something. We'll get the address. And somebody can go pick him up and bring him to church.
Amen.
That's a real hard problem. Now, if you tell me he's moving to Columbus, Ohio, then I'm going to find him a church in Columbus, Ohio. But he's moving there for whatever reason. No, he's still our Douglas. He's not going to be somebody else's Douglas. He is. He's my Douglas. All right? Any other questions? Any other concerns? We're a family. We talk things out. All right. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for everybody came here this morning. As Miss Francine said this morning, for being a Memorial Sunday, usually it's a little bit of a low crowd. It seems to me it's a good crowd here today. I pray, God, that everybody gets a blessing from what has been said today. I hope everybody works on building their memorial for their not only their house, but especially, God, for you. And that people would know that we all know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Pray that you bless this time of invitation. I pray that if anybody has a burden on their heart right now, that they just walk up to the altar and just pour it out on the altar and not carry that out with them and carry it back home. If they carried a burden in here, I pray that they would put that burden at the altar and leave it. We thank you, God, for who you are and that you can be God in all of our lives at the same time. Bless now this time of invitation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.